Okay, this information that we're going to be covering can also be found online, calvarycurriculum.com. It's in the back of your worksheets. The reason I'm telling you that is I'm going to go through about 4 hours of information. So there's more that if you want to, you can go there and listen to them. We're going to be putting different things every conference. We'll put on different workshops when we have time. There's a wealth of information. If you can't make it to all the workshops, you may find it up there on Calvary Curriculum of past conferences that we have. But I've already started off, obviously, with the general session about the importance of bringing our kids into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's under introduction here and what we're going to be talking about. We want to teach the kids how to meet with God. Some people don't believe that you can even meet with God, so that becomes a barrier right there. Others do and have that hope, but don't know how. Sometimes we meet with God just by the moving of the Holy Spirit, but we aren't sure how that played out. We aren't sure why that was. So we're going to try to look at some principles, some ideas that will help us to have a consistent meeting with the Lord whenever we have that opportunity, and we should have that opportunity a lot. I love the story of little Samuel, how God was teaching him, wanting to talk with him, and through Eli showed him that it was God speaking, and it was God that wanted to get his attention and talk with him. And I think sometimes we go, well, that was a Bible figure. That was somebody in the Bible. And we don't realize that we're who Jesus came to die for. So he desires that we would have that sweet fellowship with him. You know what's interesting is, how do you know what God's will is for your life? And how do you know where God wants you to serve? It's all wrapped up in meeting with God. If you're with him, he will direct your path. He will tell you what it is that he wants from you, what to do, what to say, where to go. This whole thing of Christianity is wrapped up with being able to hear. And you know, people go, well, you really think you can hear from God? And if my Bible's available, I would say, yeah, he has spoken. Think there's a few words in here? He has spoken volumes to us. And so the goal is to teach the children how that plays out. Not just, okay, let's read this verse and get this information, and now I know this information. Okay, I'm glad you know it. But what's that going to do? And so we're going to try to get in and talk through this. And I'm going to run through some things that I tend to take a lot of time to cover. But for sake of getting this all in, I think I'll be able to give you a full understanding of where I'm trying to go with this. And we're going to look first at 5 levels of learning. I'm not spending much time on it. I'm going to go through them, though, because it's important for you to understand. Whenever someone is teaching, somewhere in their teaching, some of these aspects, some of these levels are happening. You don't try to make them happen, they just are happening. But if you're aware of it, it will help you to be led by the Spirit, I believe. You can see what the Spirit's doing in the class, and you can go, okay, oh, I'm still over here on this level, and we want to get to this level 5. How do I do that? First level is the rote level of learning. That's the ability to repeat something without thought of meaning. So what that is if you are able to teach your kids a verse, a Bible verse, and they memorize that verse, maybe John 3:16, and they've got it down, and mom comes and picks them up, what'd you learn? And they spout out, oh, I learned that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and goes through that verse, and we're all happy about that. Rightfully so. But don't get confused the scripture that says we will hide God's word in our heart, that we won't sin against him, with hiding God's word in our head. Because there's no promise there. It's only in the heart. So what we're talking about is, on this first level, we have hidden God's word in someone's heart. They've memorized it and they can repeat it without thought of meaning. The next level is the recognition level. And that's the ability to recognize something. So let's say somebody has come to your door on a Saturday morning. There's been two of them. And they're standing knocking on your door at your home. And they may be in white shirts and ties. And their bikes may be out on the street. And they come up and they start talking about the gospel, a gospel. And at that point, because you know the gospel, you could be young in your faith, or you may be young in what they believe and not totally understand. They'll be telling you some things and you'll go in your heart, no, I recognize that's not true. The second level of learning is the ability to recognize a truth. We may not be able to communicate that truth, but we recognize that it's true or it's false. So we've got the recognition. So we've got the rote level, which is the ability to repeat something without thought of meaning. Then we move to the recognition level. And that is recognizing that it is true or false. Now, we are wanting our children to be doers of the word. These first two levels only bring us to a hearer state. So they are hearing. This is a hearer level. Level one, level two. Level three is restatement. Restatement is the ability to take a biblical truth and restate it. Just say it in your own terms. It's still only a hearer level, but the ability to restate something is important because you can't communicate to someone if you can't restate it. Now, here's the problem. And this is why one of the reasons I want you to understand these five levels of learning. Most ministry, children's ministry, is based on these first three levels. And they're only hearer levels. They are not doer levels. We get so excited when that youngster repeats that verse. Oh, it's heaven. Listen, out of that little voice, they're saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." If they don't know any more than that, we have a problem because he killed his son. I don't get this, God. So there's other processes that's taking place that the children need to know. But if they repeat a phrase, if they repeat information, we think they've got it. And I have more conversations with parents that are grieving over their children because they went to a Christian school, they went to a Christian church, the parents are Christian, and my kids, through these years, they would repeat this to me, but we don't believe it's just repeating. We think it's living it out. And because we think the way we think, the way we've been trained to think, we don't realize they may not be living it out. They may only be like a parrot that's been trained to repeat a phrase. And so we think they've got it. And why would we not think that? They're able to repeat it. And it sounds so wonderful because I agree with how they're repeating things. You know, I like it. That's what I've trained them. And we don't even know if they're really in agreement. And what will tell us if they're in agreement is their life. But so we got these first three levels. Rote, recognition, restatement. If we keep the kids on these levels, we are creating religious children. Now, I'm not saying you don't mess around on these levels. I'm not saying you don't get kids to memorize. I'm not saying you don't get kids to learn how to repeat. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying if we stay on these first three levels, which most children's ministries do, then we are creating religious children that parrot information back to us and we think they're okay. Until one day they say, "I'm out of here. I'm done with this religion." And they move on. And we're crushed because they've been talking to us about godly things and we don't understand what this is about. Because we aren't aware of what takes place in the process of learning. The next level of learning is the recognition level. That's the a relation level, excuse me. That is where we come to understand the information that we've gained through those first three levels, the rote, the memorizing, the being able to recognize and restate it, The fourth level is where we come to see how it relates to our life. Ah, that's the key. Relate to our lives. And you hear that in oftentimes inductive Bible studies. We need to get the kids to understand how it relates to their life. Well, I'm sorry, that's still only a doer or a hearer level. If a child can relate, let's say the study was on forgiveness, and one of the kids in the class says something like, oh man, that means I got to go forgive my sister. Well, we don't know what kind of attitude's going on there. They see how it relates, but they may not go and forgive their sister. But they see what they need to do. And there's nothing more dangerous on planet Earth when kids understand the Scripture, they see how it relates to their life, and they don't do it. James says that if you're only a hearer, you will become deceived. And here's the problem. Oftentimes our kids don't realize, or we don't realize because we aren't doing the word, we're deceived. And what is a good definition for deceived? Anybody? Tricked. And when you're tricked, do you know it? No. So when we get deceived, we don't even know we're deceived. Now the people around us know we're deceived, but we don't know it. So when we build up children, we get them to the place where they even know the answer and how it relates to their life, they still can be deceived if they aren't encouraged to go to that next level of learning, which is the realization level, understanding the information and how it relates to one's life. And then, here's the key word. This is the absolute most important word. If you can take away from this conference, this is it. Responding. Responding to Jesus Christ, responding to His Word. Oftentimes we never come to the place of responding. Have you ever been in church sometime when the Lord spoke to your heart and He said, this is what you need to do. You needed to repent and you needed to go deal with something and take care of it. And you're just like totally, your heart is like, you're on the fourth level. I receive that. I know that I have sinned. I know You've spoken to me. Now I need to go do that. And something that you have to do right after church. Okay? And so you're like totally, your heart is totally in this. You really mean what you're saying. You're going to go do it. You walk out. And can you believe it? Somebody that you haven't seen for 10 years happens to be standing out there in the lobby. And you go, man, I haven't seen you forever. Let's go to lunch. Yeah, let's do. They go to lunch. They were not a doer of the word. They were still only a hearer. And because we can feel and sense God speaking to us and we can respond to Him and agree with Him, we think we've done it. And all we've done is lived out our Christianity in our head. And we have a lot of people in the body of Christ today, in the children's ministry today, that are living their Christianity out in their head, not in their heart. Because they think as long as they reason, then that's good enough. The fifth level is responding to God. That's actually doing it. Going and doing it. We're going to talk about how we do that in the Word of God. But I want to kind of throw you off a little bit more if that hasn't confused you. This is going to be the basis for some of the things we're saying. So if you haven't been confused, I'm going to try to do it a little more here. There are two basic ways that we have been, there's one way that we've been taught to learn. If you've gone through the education system of America, you have been taught how to think like a Greek. There is a problem with that. Because the Word of God was not written that way. I think everybody but one came out of the Hebrew culture. This book that is spiritual has the mindset of a Hebrew. But we've been taught to think Greek. So we will mistakenly read the Bible in a Greek manner when in fact the information is coming by way of Hebrew thought. Interesting. What do I mean? Well, in the Greek, their concept is all about information. It's all about memorizing. It's all about repeating things that you were taught by the teacher. So here's how our system works. Teacher, here. Student, there. My notebook, your notebook. I'm going to speak my notes so that you get them and you're going to write them down. And if you can repeat those words, that's what we call tests. You pass. You pass. Now you may still have in our system, you may still have understood it and you can't take the test very well. I hated tests. I couldn't take tests. I flunked every test that came across my desk. Or I tried to anyway, it seemed like. I had a lot of the information. I grew up not knowing it, though, with a learning disability. But nonetheless, I was taught how to think Greek. So if I know the information, and you know what? It's the best way to lie to a people. Because you get the teacher who's telling the student how to think. Don't reason. Don't learn how to critically think. You just puppet what I taught you, and we're all dandy. Because that's the only way you're going to pass my test. And if you don't pass my test, you can't move on. That's how we've been taught to think. Information. Information is king. So now we have a problem. The first three levels are definitely about information. But it's Greek. And that's not going to do us well. So most of what we've been taught to learn to think as a Greek. And the training of the individual, the Greek way, was for the service of the culture. So what we've been taught is our highest goal is to serve our culture. That's the Greek way of thinking. So, to the Greek, the goal of education was for the student to learn what the teacher knew. The focus was on the intellect. They focused on the content to be transferred from the teacher's mind to that of the student's mind. Boy, doesn't that look like a lot of our classrooms? Information in, information out, and we're all happy because we can repeat it. It's only a doer level. We are in trouble if that's the only place we hang out. But the Hebrew form or the Hebrew approach to learning is this. Hebrew form of education in that is the goal is of this form of learning is not only memorization of repeatable facts, but to live out the truth. They did not believe, those that wrote the Word of God did not believe that just because you heard it and knew it, that it made any difference. They believed that the test, if you would, was the living of it out. That was the test. Not did you, could you repeat and pass the test. No, they believed the test was how your life lived out that information. And it's really interesting because in our society, because we think this way, we can be lied to constantly. Because somebody walks up to us and says this, whatever they say in their statement, and we go, okay. And we don't even learn how to critically think that that person's lying through their teeth to me. And they aren't planning on doing that. Because we think intellectually, as long as it's spoken out. But in effect, when we live out the Hebrew approach to the Word of God, then we know the truth. Not what I say. It's what I do. And we need to understand that because we have been duped. Our entire nation is being turned upside down because we've been taught how to think like a Greek. And the Word of God is not Greek oriented, even though you hear it all the time. The Greek says, here in the Word, if it's not reflected out of the person's life, then it hasn't been learned according to the Hebrew culture. How has the truth transformed the student, their attitude, their behavior? At that point in time, we know because we see it. They aren't deceived. They aren't tricked. Before your very eyes, you see them living it out. And that's when you know, and that's how you know that they are. To the Hebrew, the goal of education was for disciples to become like their teacher. Wow. We don't even care anymore. What people ask in schools is, what's the education level of the teacher? Because we think Greek. So we want to make sure they've got all their degrees, their masters, and all the way up. We don't even care about the person. In the Hebrew way of thinking, the person was everything. What is that person? Because they are going to be, my children are going to become like them. And we don't even think that way. Somehow we have compartmentalized this all out, the truth of how to live out our life. The focus was on their heart. It was on their character. It was on their life. It wasn't on the information that they can spew back to us and repeat to us and take a test. The test, as I said, was how they live their life out. Education, to the Hebrew, was for the training of the individual in the service of God. Did you get what the Greek was? It was for the training of the people for the betterment of culture. The Hebrew's mindset was to be trained for God. To be trained for the service of God. I'm amazed at how many parents today train their children for the benefit of the culture. I want them to get this degree and that degree. I want them to go to this school. I want them to go to that school. Do we realize that whatever school we're sending our children to, whatever they're being trained in, is who they are becoming? We get this idea, no, they're going to become a plumber. They're going to become a technician. That is who we develop ourselves into. And the time we spend in developing that is who we are developing. The idea of Greek and Hebrew is a very important subject matter that oftentimes we really don't understand. The Hebrew model of education rests upon a moral base, not an academic. So to the Hebrews, the goal of education was for the disciple to become like their teachers. The focus was on their heart, their character, their life. The learner was not a student defined by studying, but rather a disciple defined by following. Okay, got a lot of background done that I wanted and felt is absolutely necessary for us to do. To move on to number four on your outline, thinking differently. The Bible is a spiritual book. Oftentimes we think the Bible and we read the Bible like it's any other book that we're reading. Oh, we know it's God's Word and they're words of wisdom and they're words that we should know and so forth. But we don't realize the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. This book claims to be alive. It's not like any other book. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's God's living Word to us. And yet we will treat it like information. Just as long as I can get this information from here into the child's head and they take the test by repeating it back to me, oh, we're there. This book is alive. I can't explain it to you. I can only tell you. I've experienced it. Many have experienced it in the world. It's alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. But do we study it that way? Do we teach the kids that way? This is God's message. Oftentimes I encourage people, teachers, to, when they're in front of their class, put the Bible up in front of their face and start talking to their students and just acting like really goofy because their kids are wondering, what is he doing? What I'm trying to convey to them when I do that is the reality that as you hear my voice, actually when you read these words, you're hearing God's voice to you. It's alive. It's active. It's not just information. So they need to come to the place where they understand that these words are being communicated by way of the Holy Spirit to them from God. It's not just any book. There are many books. I'm going to talk about this book. It's touched my life in many ways. But it's not this book, which is alive. Do we treat it that way? Do we understand that this is God's message to us? This is His living word to us that He wants us to respond to. Now, I have come up with an illustration that I use that I think sometimes it'll be easier to understand. Let's say that I was born unable to speak, and my parents decided not to teach sign to me, but what they did was they taught me how to write, and they gave me a pad and a pen. And so what I would do is I'd go around writing things, and I'd go up to people because I couldn't talk, and I would just say this. Now, the person that I asked this question to has a choice. They can read it and go, what if they're talking about me? And I wrote out here, how are you doing? I wonder if I should respond, especially in this class. You know, I can write, Georgia. What has happened is communication has taken place. I couldn't talk. I had to develop and write everything I wanted to say for the rest of my life. Now, God can do anything He wants to do, but He chose to speak to us through this, His Word, which is alive and active. And it's as if He got there and He had somebody write down everything He wanted us to know. And so now what He does is, as we're reading a section, it's like He's talking to us. He may not say, what's your name? He'll tell you in the heart how much He loves you, because He's ministering to you by way of His Holy Spirit. But what He is desiring is for us to respond to Him. And if you want to have a consistent fellowship with Jesus Christ, you crack open your Bible, you read a scripture, you understand, you make sure you understand that scripture in light of what He is saying, and then you respond back to Him. That's how simple meeting with God is. And does He ever want to meet with you? He wants to meet with you. You know why He wants to meet with you, especially being here? He wants to meet with you is because He wants you to be able to teach children how to meet with Him. And if we aren't meeting with God, if we aren't through His Word, if we aren't taking His Word and reading His Word and responding to what He has said, you may come across the scripture, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I guarantee you, out of this entire group of people, you will respond differently, each one of you. Some may say, well, Lord, I'm a part of the all, and I praise You for saving me. Others may say, you know, You're speaking to my heart about something, Lord, and I really, enable me to go and do that. And on the list will go, because God is an individual God who treats us individually. He has written His Word for us to hear Him and then respond to Him. But if we are only going to teach information, what happens is we teach information about God. It's all about God. I learned about God. You probably have people in your life that you don't know personally. but you know a lot about them. That's what it's about. You may think you know, like or dislike the President of the United States. You don't know him. You know about him. You know what people have said about him or are saying about him, but you don't know him. The difference that we're talking about is a living relationship of responding to the Word of God. And different age levels can do that. Some people go, well, no, that's like more in the junior high, high school. That's too late. Remember, we're teaching their normal. We're developing what will be normal for them for the rest of their lives. It's amazing to me, some children's ministries, we have talked, and they've got things going on, man. They got this happening and that happening and all this crazy stuff in the children's ministry, apart from just studying the Word of God and teaching them how to respond to the Lord. And what we don't understand is we're creating their normal. When they get into the level of being able, the age to go into the sanctuary, will the stuff that we've been training them in children's ministry be the same in there? No, if it's crazy stuff. And will they want to go? No, because we've created a normal for them that says you got to jump and bounce and all this stuff. You can't jump and bounce in the sanctuary, at least not in this sanctuary. Well, I don't want to go to that sanctuary. I'm going to go find a bouncing, jumping church. And we can train our kids in what is their normal to go to a seeker-friendly church because they jump and bounce. Are we going to train them in how to meet with the living God, which is the absolute most important thing for all of our lives? Or are we going to teach them how to jump and bounce? Now, I have to be careful. There is some jumping. There is some bouncing in children's ministry. You will find it in the twos and the threes and the fours. They bounce all over the place. But there comes a place and time when we have to have them move beyond the jumping and bouncing into a place where they can simply sit with God by way of the Word of God. As they read the Word of God, as you read the Word of God to them, you will be in some of the workshops and you can see some of our posters that we have up. We teach our kids. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll talk about that later. Sorry, you're going to have to wait. I'm kind of losing track of where I'm at because I've got your notes, but I'm not following them real well, huh? Okay, we are officially at C, 4C, thinking outside of academics. We can tend to treat reading the Bible like mere information. A lot of people don't know, you know, they want to know where we're at. And I've just got done sharing all this stuff, but it's a point of contact with God. We want to bring our kids into a point of contact with God. All right. Now, I'm going to go over quickly this idea, and it's very important, and you can look up these scriptures at a later time and read more of them. But Hebrews 11:6 is extremely important because it says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. So first of all, what are you saying is we live a life of faith. We don't like that. Give me anything but faith. Give me a paycheck. No faith pertaining to that. Give me a good car that will get me here. No faith in a car. We have for many years owned cars that we always knew we could get somewhere with. We weren't sure if we were going to get back. Faith? Oh, I don't know about faith. But that's the only thing that pleases God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So here's the deal. I believe the reward is contact with God. There's not a greater reward on the universe. So it takes faith to step out and believe that God has spoken in and through His Word and He wants me to respond back. The fifth level of learning. He wants me to take seriously, by faith, God has spoken, and He's waiting for my response. How many times will we get up in the morning, if we do get up in the morning and have time with the Lord, and we'll read through scriptures, and we'll go, oh, wow, that's good, yeah, oh, yeah, Lord, oh, that's really good, oh, that's, That touches my heart. That's good. Okay, yeah. Well, gotta go. Work time. Get the kids. And we're on our way. That is no different than if somebody came into my office and was there for the purpose of being counseled. And they got all kinds of problems going on in their life. And I tell them, well, you know, I've got other schedules, so we've got 45 minutes. So let's pray and let's go. Let's have at it. So I pray and they talk and they pour out their heart. And comes to be 45 minutes. They've been talking the whole time. And I say to them, time to go. Bye. And they leave. Or you have a good friend. And you say, hey, let's get together for lunch. You know? And it's a one-way conversation. It's not two people talking back and forth. Ah, I wasn't planning on this, but I'm going to ask for two volunteers to stand to your feet. Just two volunteers. This, right now. Right now. Two volunteers. We got John and we got Brian. All right, you guys are close. I want you to talk to each other. Go ahead. Brian, John is right here. John, this is Brian. John, why don't you start the conversation off? Say hi, Brian. All right, good. Thank you. What did they just do? What did they just do besides butting in? They learned more about each other, but what was the process that was going on? Sharing information, fellowshipping, talking, one listening, one responding. That is what God wants with us. That's it. Because when the living God has spoken to you and touched your heart, nothing else really matters. You may go to him in prayer and go, Lord, I'm in need of this, this, you know. And God just speaks to you. Oh, you know, I love you. God of the universe just told me he loved me. Oh, man, I got no problems. I got no issues. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He just spoke to my heart. He said he loved me. That's an up-close personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we so desperately need, and we so desperately need to communicate to the kids. The idea of walking in faith, which we can't spend any more time on, is so important. We try to live out Christianity apart from faith. You know, I have teachers come and they go, man, I barely made it to church today. I barely made it into class today. And I'm so excited about those teachers. They crawled through the doorway. You know, they're in there. That was probably more pleasing to Jesus Christ because it took faith to come than when we feel like coming. What do we want to do? Do we want to please God or us? I want to please God. Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I got to please God. How? By showing faith in him. By showing faith in the reality that he has spoken to me and I can respond to him through his word. I don't just out there respond to him. I've got enough to respond to him in the word. Totally enough. And when we do that with the children, we're training them in their normal. And nobody's going to take them. I believe when you've had an up-close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you have experienced him, nobody's going to get you. He's promised to keep us. But what happens is we dupe ourselves in religion. He doesn't promise to keep our kids in religion. He came to come against religion. He came to give life. And that life is found in the Son. Ah. And do you know, as God people, what's going on in your life? I'm assuming as God people, this may be a wrong assumption, but that you too have been saved by Jesus Christ, that means you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Sometimes you hear stuff, you know, rightfully so, there's no good thing in me. And I always hold people off. I go, well, if you're talking about my flesh, right on, you're right. But let me introduce you to something that is the most phenomenal, fantastic thing that happens to reside inside this earthen vessel. And that is Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit. If we're depressed, we don't realize what's happening in our life. The Holy Spirit lives inside us. God of the universe lives inside us. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Oh, that should get anybody out of any stupor. My, but we're always thinking about us. Now, as we think about the Lord and what He has done. So here's the deal. Let me get you up on the radar screen with a handout. We're on number 6. Teach to have a two-way conversation with God. Now, there is a correct way and there's an incorrect way. And we're going to go through this for the next few minutes and talk about this. To respond means to send back. Somebody sends something to you and now you're sending back. That's just what response means. So we're responding to God. What would you say back to God that He has said in this scripture today in our fourth grade class? Instead of just giving the information, which you need to give the information, now that the information's out, having the class respond to God personally and correctly. So the idea personally is respond back to what He has said in His Word in a personal way. We call that living fellowship with a living God. Now, I want to kind of let you know what an incorrect way would be of responding back to the Lord. Anytime we change direction of what's written. It's kind of like, what would be a good illustration for that? There's different ways to have prayer. There's supplication. There's intercession. There's all different ways that we have prayer. We don't tell our kids that we're going to pray back, even though that's all we're doing. We're praying back the Word of God. Because the word prayer can confuse. We say we're going to talk to the Lord. We're going to respond to the Lord because that's what we're doing. If I said we're going to pray, then they can go off in all different directions in prayers that have nothing to do with responding. It's kind of like somebody saying to me, "How you doing today, Lair?" And I go, "Man, did you get a hold of..." I mean, I'm talking about something totally different. And we can do that with the Word. We can read a verse and respond back to God about something that's totally different. No, we take just what we're looking at in the Word of God and as if He has said that verse, those words to me, and we respond back those words, that information. So incorrectly responding back can confuse everything. And if you do this in a group, it's kind of weird. Well, where's that in the Bible? We didn't read that. What are you praying right now for your dog for? Oh, because you told me to beware of dogs. No, I'm just kidding. So we have to be careful how the responding process is taking place. We want to respond in a norm, like Brian and John talked to each other. When Brian asked a question to John, John didn't go off on a tantrum of something else that he wasn't asked, or vice versa. They responded in correctness. They sent back in correctness. And so we have to be careful. The other thing we have to be careful with is when we are responding back, we like to respond in a safe manner. They and we and them. That's not personally responding. It's I. Me. Forgive me. Not forgive us. I don't know what your problem is. I know what my problem is. Forgive me. And so often what happens is we still talk in a generality. And when we do, I'm not sure who we're talking to. We need to personalize the sending back. We need to personalize responding. So the correct way is responding back to what He did say. the words that he used, the words that you read in the classroom, in your personal life. You know, I'll go back to the, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, Lord, I know all those people are sinners. You know, I know they came up short. That's not responding back in truth, personally and correctly. Correctly is what I described before. Lord, I have fallen short. Thank you for saving me. Personalizing by a step of faith that God has spoken to us and he wants us to respond back to him. And he wants us to teach the children to do that. There's a real problem with that. It's a word called our will and honesty. You see, it's easier to pray for the group. It's easier to respond as a group than it is as a person. The Greek teaches us how to respond by intellect. So I can respond by intellect, but it's not really from the heart. The Hebrew says, no, it's a living out. It's a living out. And so what I need to do as I read his word is do just that. Respond in a personal, up close, honest, giving my will over to him way. You see, as Christians, this is one of the biggest pitfalls that we have. We come to new life. We see Jesus. Oh, man, he has changed my life. The enemy knows that. And his idea is, you know what? I can make this okay. They may be saved and they may go to heaven, but I got a plan. Oh, man, this is my plan. I'm going to get them starting to think about themselves again. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to have them just be consumed with themselves. And I win because they won't do anything for Jesus. And we are fighting from the point of time when we give our life to the Lord that. And guess what the answer is? Paul once again told us the answer in Corinthians. I die daily. I die daily. That means I give my will over to God daily, sometimes multiple times in a day. You live that kind of life, it's realistic. You may have to do it at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and at bedtime too. I die daily, he said. But what we do is we die once, give our life to the Lord, and then we take our life back. And now we are the masters of our fate. And we choose what we're going to do. That's not the definition of a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to die daily. And it takes our will. This is the problem for meeting with God. It takes your will. This is the whole deal. The concept's simple. It's easy. The reality is difficult because it takes your will. You have to say, God, you have me. You have to. Or you just go back into living your life out in your head. And you respond. You can respond to God in theory and in your head. It can happen. But he wants our will. If you feel like you're living a drab of a life, if you feel like that this thing called Christianity isn't what you thought it was, it may be because of this. It may be because you've taken your life back. It may be because you aren't willing to allow God to minister through his word to you. That you are responding. You know, someone is in control of our life. Someone is in control. It's always the way it plays out. It's either me or God. But someone is in control. When we study the Word of God, do the inductive study, we read the Word, we listen to the Word, I still am in control of my life. I still am in control of my life. The step of removing the control of my life is from my will. I have to choose. Paul had to choose to die daily. That's where the issue comes. to sit down and open up the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me, and read it, and then respond back to him. You have to be willing. You have to be willing to receive it, because he'll just go, you know what, you're just playing. You took your life back again. I can't talk to you. I can't speak to you. It is so minute, but it is so problematic. Who is the authority of my life? You know how kids and families grow up and go, I can't wait to be like you, an adult, because you have control over your life. I would hope that's not true. I would hope that the adult has learned in Christ that they still don't have control. And the only reason I want my child to obey me is so they will grow up to learn that they also are under the authority of Jesus Christ and do not have control like people think adults do. Dying daily is the key. All right, we're going to run through 7 really quick. Can I see your notes? Okay. All right. You're going to have to write fast. We'll never get through this. Oh, well. All right. Teaching children to have a two-way conversation. And we've talked the principles through. You can apply them, but I'll try to get you this information here because people hate to walk away with blanks on their notes. All right. First, learn to simply read the Bible verse by verse. This sets in their mind how they would simply talk to God. Take a verse as if it's God speaking to them. Teach them how to just look at the word, a verse, 2 verses, 3 verses, as a normal conversation. B, teach the children the idea behind communicating to someone. What does it mean to have a two-way conversation? The best way to approach it in the show is to have 2 kids stand up. The ones that talk all the time. Of course, when they stand up, they probably will freeze and won't want to talk. But have them sit down. I don't know. But anyway, show them what it means to have communication. That's important for them. And be talking about the idea of what it means to respond, to send back, to say hello. And then you respond to that hello. Then, C, apply this to communicating with God. We talk about with each other. Now apply it to communicating with God himself and what that means. We see people do it. God wants to do that with us. D, next apply this to reading the Bible verse by verse as you would talk with someone to the Lord. Talk to the Lord in a personal way, that's having a personal relationship with him. E, this will take time to develop. Definitely takes time to develop. One verse at a time. F, take a verse that may be easy. The Psalms are really good to be teaching kids because all you're doing is responding back in praise of who he is in many of those Psalms. G, after your study time in class, ask the question, what did we learn that we can respond back to God today? So you have to start giving them a mindset of how to think. What did we learn today that we can respond back to the Lord? H, there are little things that can be done each week to help in creating a new mindset about meeting with God, such as, right on the whiteboard in front of the classroom, do you talk to God when you read your Bible? We had a teacher that did it all the time, and then they forgot to do it one service, and he didn't even think they were really paying attention to it. And it was like about 3 months into it, he forgot to put it up. And the kids are going, hey, well, you didn't write it on the board. You didn't write it on the board. And it you know, they don't always tell us anything. You know, it's kind of like, are you there? You know, and so it was ministering to them. Do you talk to God when you read your Bible? Okay. K, I'm going fast. Use the vocabulary. Teach the kids by communicating with the vocabulary, responding, communicating to a fellowship with someone. Or over time, they are going to start thinking that way as we teach them to think that way. We don't often think that way, that you can read the Bible and talk to God. Okay. Use questions such as, what did God say in his word that we can respond back to him? Not just asking God for something. I got about 1 minute. Some of this you can read. There's some ways of Proverbs 3. 5 and 6, read that. That will give you a better understanding. It's in your notes. M, remember, with young children such as kindergarten, second grade, we simply teach them what to say in responding to God. At the beginning of the process, you tell them. And my wife teaches kindergarten, and she will say, God just said this. God's just said he loves you. What are you going to say back to him? And some of the kids will go, I love him. I love you. And she can use that time. I love him. No, he wants you to talk to him. Oh, I love you. You're in that early stage of the process of doing that. And as each year goes on and on and on with the training of the children, we've been doing this now, not completely in every classroom, but we've been doing this for a little over a year now. We've been having teachers go through some of the trainings of this, and we're starting to see little by little this take place. And we have three workshops that one's going on now. There'll be two more that will actually be taking you through this in a class itself, how to do this. And those are written in the, you can read Meeting with God in the third session, and it will tell you what classes those are that we'll be going over that. I'm so sorry I ran out of time, but I believe you got the understanding and the idea behind what we were saying. If you want more information, you can go to those workshops. If you want even more information, you can go up on calvarycurriculum.com and take the long version of what you just got in a short way. May God bless you. May he pour out his spirit upon you. May you sense his presence as you walk in that classroom and you see those youngsters. May you understand that you are creating their normal for the rest of their lives. And may their normal be meeting with God, responding to God, having personal contact with God, experiencing a living fellowship with God. And I pray this in Jesus' name.